I ask you to turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Okay, we've been looking at some attributes of God over a number of Wednesday nights, and we've been looking at the omni characteristics. The word omni means all. And of course, omniscient, end of that word comes from our English word science, which means knowledge. A 60-year-old man, I'm not going to try to pronounce his name, but he said in an interview from his home on the outskirts of Kuala Lumpur concerning his 34-year-old son, who was one of the 239 people on Malaysia Airlines Flight 370. He said, "It's really too much. I don't know why it is taking so long for so many people to find the plane. It's 12 days." It had been 12 days since he said that. He didn't understand why that many people couldn't find that plane. You've probably seen this map that's behind me on the wall. The experts have narrowed it down to these two large arcs that you see there, one going northward, one going southward. And, you know, nobody on this earth that we know of knows the present location of those 239 people. Everybody wants to know. Some want to know more than others. But, you know, God knows where that plane is right now. God knows where all 239 of those people are. Now, that's not rocket science. I didn't just tell you something you didn't know. But to pause for a moment and to think, nobody on the earth likely, now those people, if they're still alive, and they may not know where they are, but no other human being knows, but God knows. Because our God is omniscient. He knows everything that there is to know about everything and everyone. And we've been looking at this attribute of God, the fact that He knows all causes, all effects, all connections, all thoughts, all feelings, all desires, all dreams, all secrets, all mysteries, everything seen and unseen, heard and unseen, imagined and unimagined, past, present, and future, everything that is or that could be or that could have been. And we've looked at scriptural evidence for God's omniscience, and that gives us a background truth to hold on to, that since the Bible plainly declares that God knows everything, if something seems to contradict that plain truth that is declared in the Bible, then for us, we must step back and consider, what is it that God is trying to accomplish through wording that actually brings difficulties for us? Because we've seen that there are things in the Scripture that can make us wonder. Okay, she's already got them there. You know what they are. We've already looked at them anyway. Why does the Bible instruct us to pray if God knows everything? Why does the Bible seem to suggest that God learns or is surprised or changes His mind? We've already looked at those and tried to answer them. And tonight we want to look at another one. Why, if God knows everything, if God not only knows where Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 is, but He knows everything else, and why would God ever ask questions? We see Him asking questions right here in Genesis chapter 3. Now, you ladies who were at the ladies' meeting back in January, you've already heard my wife expound on this a lot deeper and better than I'm going to. We're just going to touch on it. But she brought this actually to my attention, and we've had some good discussions and thoughts on this. And I want to just mention a few things here as an example. There are many questions throughout the Bible. But notice here in Genesis 3, after Adam and Eve have eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in disobedience to God's direct and plain and clear command. Look down in verse 8. And they're hiding themselves. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." So he said, and he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the fruit? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Then the man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the fruit and I ate." And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." A number of questions we find God asking, and some may come to the very beginning of their Bible and they may say, well, you know, God doesn't know everything. God is asking a series of rapid-fire questions. Right here at the beginning of the Bible, it's pretty evident that He's trying to get some information. Well, again, we step back and we look at all of Scripture and we say it's very clear. We've looked at a number of passages and on other Wednesday nights that tell us that God knows everything. It's made very clear. So why is God asking these questions? You know, He could have just told them the things He was bringing out. Because we find that, in essence, what God was doing was He was not trying to get information for Himself, but rather He was trying to make a point. He was trying to draw the attention of those who were asked the questions, trying to draw their attention to certain points that He wanted them to know. He could have just told them what He wanted to tell them. But instead, He asked them questions. You know, when somebody asks you a question and they're trying to get a point across, they are going to probably get their point across in a better way because they're engaging you. You become part of the process. Rather than just hearing what they want to tell you, you have to think and you have to answer and respond to the question that you're being asked. Therefore, you're more engaged in the process and hopefully you're going to take that in and understand that better. Often as parents, we do that with our children, don't we? We ask them questions, we already know the answer. We're not trying to get the information, we're trying to make a point to them. What did you just do to your little brother? Well, you saw what they did. You know what they did. And you say, "What do you think I ought to do to you?" You know what they're going to say. Nothing. I'll never do it again, I promise. We ask questions because we're trying to make a point and draw their attention. So just some thoughts on what God may be trying to bring to their attention as He asks these questions. Hit it one more time there. Okay, and hit it one more time again. All right, very good. Isn't she good over there? Give her a big hand. All right, yeah. Thank you, Sarah. All right. Not only can she type, she can do this for us. Okay, asking questions about sin. The first question: where are you? Did God not know where Adam was? Did He not know where Eve was? Were they hiding so well He couldn't find them? No, He was trying to draw their attention to the fact that they were separated from Him because of their sin. For the first time ever, they had hidden. They had clothed themselves with fig leaves and they had gone out into the garden and tried to hide where God couldn't find them. They were separated in their fellowship with God. And that's what sin does. And He asked that question to bring their attention so they would have to say, Adam would have to say, "We went to hide from you. We were ashamed." He had to say that. All right. Again, in verse 11, He asked the question, "Who told you? How did you know that you were naked? Who told you?" And here, Adam was faced with a question. Not that God needed to know the answer. God knew no one told him. God knew that he had gone and eaten of that fruit that he wasn't supposed to eat of. And that's how he had the knowledge of a good and evil. That's how he knew he was naked. That's why he was ashamed. And so God, by asking the question, was wanting to cause Adam and Eve to take responsibility for their sin. Personal responsibility. That they didn't have to, they were spending all their time hiding and getting where God couldn't see them, and God wanted them to see, hey, I did it. It wasn't that anybody told me. No, I did something that resulted in this. And then the next question, actually the next two questions, have you eaten and what is this you have done? He knew the answers to those questions, but he wanted to draw them out where they would have to give a verbal confession to what they had done. They would have to acknowledge, and even though they continued to try to shift the blame somewhat, yet they had to come face to face with what they had done, and they had to admit it. So God was asking those questions for a purpose. And you can go all through the Bible, and you can find question after question, and often we just read over the question, won't even think about it, because we understand the context. But some may question you. Why does God do this? Well, this was helpful to have the answer. God is drawing our attention to something when He asks us a question. He's making a point. Okay. One other thing I want us to try to hit tonight is if God knows everything, how can humans have free will? Some people bring this up not so much as attacking a particular verse or passage or looking at something like they might look here at Genesis 3 and attack that, but rather just from a philosophical perspective, they might say this: if God knows everything, if God is omniscient, He's everything I'm going to do, and He knows that I'm going to do X, then it seems like I can't not do X. I have to do X if He knows I'm going to do it. So I can't really do Y. So how can you say that I have a free will? How can you say that I have a choice when God already knows what I'm going to do? And if He already knows it, then that means I've got to do it, right? Well, here's what I would see as the biblical answer to that. God fully knows what I will choose, but that in no way limits my choosing. You see, it's not that He has forced me to make a particular choice, but rather that He doesn't have to wait to find out what I'm going to choose. Nor does He have to say, okay, I'm going to say that He's going to do this, and therefore He's going to have to do it. No, rather God, in His omniscience, remember we said He knows everything past, present, and future. He already knows what you're going to do. He knows what you're going to choose. It's not a matter of God setting that in motion by His knowledge and you not being able to change, but rather what it is that God, in His perfect foreknowledge, knows ahead of time what you're going to do. And so He's not in any way controlling what you're going to do. Rather, He's allowing you to do that, but He knows already what you're going to do in His sovereignty. He has sovereignly chosen to allow us to choose. That was God's sovereign choice. He didn't have to do that. But in His sovereignty, He sovereignly chose to allow us to choose, to make a choice. Now, it's true that because of our sinful nature, we are influenced maybe to choose X. But we're not forced to choose X. We have the opportunity. God has given us the opportunity to choose X or Y. And then, of course, God, because He is not only omniscient, but He is also omnipotent, as we'll look at in the future, He is able to work together all the choices of all the people on all the earth at all times and accomplish His will without forcing anyone to make a certain decision. So the fact that God is omniscient does not in any way hinder us from having free will. We're going to next time we've been looking at some of the difficulties that God's omniscience may bring to us in the form of wondering, well, how can this be if that is? But next time I want us to look at some of the blessings that come to us because God is omniscient. That would not be blessings if He were not, but He is. We're going to close in prayer, and I hope that as you think about God, you think about His omniscience, that though some may question that and may even bring to your attention some skeptics, that you will be able to always go back to the Word of God and compare Scripture with Scripture and look at the whole of the Word of God and recognize that God knows everything. Knows everything about you, knows everything about them. And that is something that is a blessing, and we'll look at those blessings next time. So let's pray. Father, we thank You for revealing Yourself to us in the Scripture. Father, we are so blessed to be able to know You. Father, to understand to some degree Your character, Your attributes. Lord, we want to be like Paul, who said that I may know Him. Father, we want to know You better. We want to know Your Son better. We thank You for Your Word, which shows us what You're like. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit, who works within us and takes Your Word and helps us to understand Your character and Your attributes so that we can more greatly appreciate You, that our worship of You can be more focused on who You truly are, that we might lift up to You our appreciation for Your omniscience, that You know all things. Father, we thank You that when You ask a question, it's not to get information, but rather to help us to understand, to draw our attention to an important, vital truth. Father, we think about these truths about sin. Father, we think about those who were unsaved that are in our lives, some that have even been mentioned tonight for prayer, others that are on our hearts. And Father, they need to think about these questions. Lord, they need to face the truth that there is a separation, that they have personal responsibility, and Father, help them to understand these things. Help them to acknowledge that and confess that. And Lord, those of us who know the Lord Jesus as Savior, we recognize that we too in our daily walk are dealing with temptation and sometimes we're giving in to sin. We pray that we'll hear these questions come to us. And Lord, that we will be quick to acknowledge the separation in our fellowship that comes from our sin, that we will acknowledge our own personal responsibility, and that we will acknowledge our confession before You. So thank You, Lord, for loving us, for making it possible through Your Son's death and resurrection that we are able to confess our sins and know that You are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank You for allowing us to make choices. Help us as believers to make godly choices, guided by Your Word and by the Holy Spirit. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. 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 Might you enjoy our omniscient God. We need 15 stacks of 7 chairs, all the books put on the rack back there, and that'll be a big help. Thank you.